Good morning. I just want to say that God is good. He's good in the bad times. He's good in the good times. He's just good. He's good when I'm not right. He's good when I am right. And I am just exceedingly blessed by the opportunity to be able to walk in my calling and my gifting here at Northwest University. I love being a dean, I love teaching, but I feel most fulfilled when I'm doing this work. If I had to give a title to my message today, it would be Trust God in Uncertainty. Trust God in Uncertainty. The wonderful person you see on the screen is Daniel Russell. He passed away unexpectedly on November 3rd, 2021. He walked with me spiritually for 11 years. Throughout this time, he urged me to trust God in uncertainty and to walk boldly in my calling. I will never measure up to the theologically and biblically grounded person he was. But through his example, I am committed to serving God. This message is dedicated to my friend, spiritual mentor, and brother. One thing that I have to say about Daniel is that in his 32 years of life, he was wholly committed to God. I don't know anyone, or I've never met anyone who can teach themselves Hebrew and Greek. I remember him going up to the pulpit to preach a sermon at our church, and one of the pastors walked behind them and wondered what language his Bible was in. Well, that's because he was reading out of the original language and giving his sermon. He spent hours in the morning praying and studying. If you had a question about scripture, he could tell you the historical context, the cultural world context, the spiritual context of that scripture. He could very easily teach any course in the College of Ministry. That's how gifted he was spiritually. I've never met anyone other than his father and perhaps my mom who is so committed to God the way he was. 2 days after Daniel passed on November 5th, 2021, two people, in less than 2 days, told me that it was time for me to take up Daniel's mantle and carry on his work. Admonished me to take up Daniel's mantle and carry on his work. Let me just be clear, I don't speak Hebrew and Greek. I speak a little bit of a language that I won't mention what that is because that person has started a war, but I don't even know that language all that well. Sometimes I can't even find the time to get down on my knees and pray like Daniel did, so the thought of carrying his mantle seemed overwhelming. If you're familiar with the story of Elijah and Elisha, you know that Elijah was a spiritual leader and mentor, and Elisha was the mentee and predecessor who was granted a double portion or a double blessing of Elijah's spirit in his life and ministry. When you read the story of Elijah and Elisha, scripture records exactly twice as many miracles through Elisha, which was 28 compared to Elijah, who demonstrated 14 miracles. Elijah mentored Elisha for 8 years. During the 8 years, these two men were together. The older poured himself into the younger. But in my case, it was the younger pouring himself into the older. Elijah prepared Elisha for the day when it would become his responsibility to carry on the ministry of the Most High God. If you would have asked me if Daniel was going to unexpectedly pass away on November 3rd, I would have told you no. It looked like he had a full life. It looked like God was going to do some great things in him. But the reality is that God had already done great things in him. God had already used him as a vessel. After his death, I got emails from people all over the country because he also edited my dissertation when I got my doctorate, and he edited probably 50 other people's dissertations. So people were emailing me. And I just realized what his reach was, not just in the ministry, but academically. So when I think of the idea of taking up Daniel's mantle, I say to myself that I'm not capable of doing that. So I reached out to Daniel's father on November 6th, 2021. And during a 2.5-hour conversation, his dad talked to me about Gideon. I told him what these two women said to me, and that in 2 hours that they had told me to take up Daniel's mantle. So here he is. He's lost his son just a few days before. And he spent 2.5 hours with me. You know, you wonder where Daniel got his commitment to the work of the Lord from. He got it from his father. So in my conversation with him, he brought up Gideon and encouraged me to pray for clarity. And he specifically said to me, you've got one opportunity to ask God to clarify what was meant by what those two women said to you. So on November 7th, just the next day on a Sunday, I got on my knees and I prayed. I asked God to confirm his purpose for me through an unfamiliar person. That was my specific prayer. I said, God, these women said this to me. Daniel's also always told me that God had a purpose and a plan for me. I couldn't quite understand what that was. And it's not as if God had not already been clear, because he had already spoken to me through Daniel, but here I am asking him again for clarification. See, and this is the goodness of God. He responded, and he did so miraculously through Revive Night in this very chapel on November 15th, 2021. So a week later, after I prayed, just over a week, God answered. Krista Smith was the main speaker, and her husband Sean Smith followed up by speaking blessings into the lives of many people, including me. I was standing over there that night. I was looking up, and I was asking God if Daniel was with him and if he was taking care of him. Tears were in my eyes. No one knew what I thought. No one knew what I was thinking. But Pastor Brenda Rasmussen looked through the crowd and saw me. My thought is that her focus should have been on the students. But God directed her toward me. She walks over, and she says to me, this message is for you. And in my mind, I thought the message wasn't for me, because just moments earlier, I was trying to get a beeline out of this room. It was almost 10 o'clock, or close to it. And I was trying to get out of here so I can go home and get in the bed. I saw Krista, the main speaker. She was praying for some people. And I said, you know what? As soon as she gets done, I'm getting out of here. But God had a different story. Brenda walked over to me, and she said, God sees you. In the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain, God sees. She said, God has a great work for you to do. And she spoke some other things into my life. And in that moment, I needed to hear those things, but that wasn't an unfamiliar person. I think God sent Pastor Rasmussen over to me so that I wouldn't leave this room, so that I could be blessed. So as soon as she finished and prayed for me, we turned around and looked at the altar, the stage. Sean was standing about right here, and he said, does the day July 4th mean anything to anyone? Does the day July 4th mean anything to anyone in here? And I looked at her and I said, Brenda, that's Daniel's birthday. She said, you need to raise your hand. And I'm like, uh-uh. I was gonna wait until she raised my hand for me. She says, you need to raise your hand. So I reluctantly raised my hand. And he asked me to tell him about why that day meant, what that day meant to me. And so here's the thing. And I was talking to Daniel's dad about this. Daniel's dad, he said, do you realize how many combination of numbers that he could have selected? He said, but he didn't select Daniel's date of birth, which was November 3rd. He didn't say his death. He said his birthday, July 4th. Which is an indication to me that God is getting ready to birth some things in me. He's getting ready to move in me from a ministry standpoint. Like I had always known that I'd had a calling to ministry, but I wasn't quite ready and oftentimes wasn't quite sure. Because guess what? I don't have an Assemblies of God credential. I'm working on it and I'm trying to get there, but I don't have all of that. I didn't take theology and biblical courses when I was in college. I just didn't do that. So the idea of God using me in this way is pretty powerful. So he said to me, he said, on the 4th of July, there are a lot of fireworks. And he said that July 3rd goes into July 4th. And July 4th, there's just lots of pomp and circumstance. And he said to me, you are going to see the fireworks of God in your life. And he said the fireworks speaks of signs and wonders. He said you are not only going to be a sign and a wonder, but you are going to be a conduit of signs and wonders. And I'm thinking, God, that's what Daniel was. He was a conduit of the signs and wonders of God. And that's the thing. God spoke to me through an unfamiliar person like I had prayed. Here's the truth about the entire situation. I wanted to be certain that it was God calling me and not some story that I made up. And when I found out that Gideon's story was a topic during the Judges and Kings series, Pastor Megan Netherton gave me the opportunity to share about Gideon today, but it was because it was so intimately aligned with my own personal testimony. You see, there are many leaders in the Bible who demonstrated trust in God. One of those individuals is Gideon, whose story of resilience during times of difficulty is told in Judges 6 through 8. To give you some context, Gideon was a military leader, prophet, and judge over Israel. Because of his character and trust in God, he was known as the greatest of all 15 judges. Gideon's story begins with Israelites being ravaged by the Midianites. Because of the people's heart had turned against God and they were worshiping the God of the Amorites, the Lord gave them to the hand of Midian. The Midianites were desert people descended from Abraham's second wife, Keturah. And from this relationship came a nation that was always in conflict with Israel. We will often find ourselves in conflict with people in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, are we the reason for that conflict? Did we create that conflict? And if the conflict exists, we have to ask ourselves, well, what is God trying to teach me in the midst of this conflict? When Israel realized the error of their ways, they cried out and turned to God for help. And in response, he graciously intervened and called Gideon to save the people of Israel by successfully leading them against the Midianites. There are people in this room who God is calling to save some specific people. Gideon's call begins in Judges 6, 11 through 14, which reads, I think it's important to read this scripture, so I'm going to do that. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Orpha, not Oprah, that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all his wonders and that our ancestors told us of when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midianites. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. In verses 6, 17, and verses 6, chapter 6, 36 through 39, Gideon asks God for a sign. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that you are really talking to me. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, prove it to me this way. I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry on the ground, and the ground was covered with dew. There are a number of lessons that can be learned from Gideon's actions in these passages. In Judges 6, 11 through 14, we see Gideon harvesting wheat, which is usually done in a large open space. The picture of Gideon threshing wheat in a small enclosed wine press conveys his fear of the Midianites. Wine presses are for crushing grapes. Threshing floors are for threshing wheat. But Gideon is so afraid, he's doing things he's not supposed to do. There are times when we put ourselves in small spaces, when God wants to put us in a large space. The scripture says that he was in a wine press when he should have been in a field. How many of you have put yourselves in a box when God wants you in a field where his purpose for you is great? His calling for you is beyond what you could have ever imagined. How many of us put ourselves in a box when God is calling us to the field? The first lesson is that God never intended for Gideon to be afraid or hiding in fear. Gideon is not supposed to be afraid of the Midianites. He and his people are supposed to drive them out. But his fear has taken a hold of him. It is in the midst of this moment of fear that an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and addresses him by saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The words "mighty warrior" went right over Gideon's head. So even when we're in our mess, even when we're doing things that we are not supposed to be doing, the graciousness of God is that he will be right there with us in our mess until we decide to get out of it. This is the second lesson Instead of focusing on God's calling, he questioned God about the problems he and the Israelites were facing. I mean, think about it. They were questioning God about problems that they caused for themselves. How many of us create our own problems in our lives and we get angry with God because of what we did? That was the situation that the Israelites was in. That was the situation Gideon was in. God was calling Gideon, an ordinary farmer, to something greater, and he was fixated on the problem. Since Gideon didn't hear him the first time, the angel says in a more explicit terms, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. The third lesson is Gideon's story is that in urgent situations, God will speak until he gets our attention. And see, here's the thing with that. Gideon had already had everything he needed. He had that knowledge. He had that capacity. He had that gifting. He had that spirit. He already had everything inside of him. And trust me, if he thought something was missing, God was going to give the increase. Each of us already has what we need inside of us. We've just got to be willing and open to allow God to show us what that strength is. And here's the thing. When God has something urgent for you to do, he's not gonna stop speaking to you. See, I thought Daniel was gonna be with us forever. I could never understand his urgency. Why was he always telling me to pray and fast and read my word? Why was he always telling me to write that book that God told me to write? There was always a sense of urgency about him, and I couldn't quite understand what the urgency was. But God knew that his time on earth would be short. And just like the angel was urgently beckoning Gideon to do what he needed to do, Daniel was doing the same for me. Here's the fourth lesson. What Gideon needed to understand was that God had already equipped him with the strength that he needed to win the battle and overcome the oppressor. The initial problem with Gideon is that he did not see himself the way God saw him. He felt insignificant and questioned his own capacity. Gideon told himself that his tribe was the weakest compared to other tribes, and he was the least in his own household. When I first came to Northwest, I questioned whether I could teach. I compared myself to my colleagues. I was just really down on myself, and I would call Daniel. And I was afraid because of that to bring my authentic self to the classroom. And there have been times when I've shared that a person told me to bring my authentic self to the classroom. Well, that person was Daniel. Daniel said to me, you'd be doing God, yourself, and your students a disservice if you brought anything less than your authentic self to class. He saw strength in me. He knew that I wasn't weak. He knew that I was a daughter of God. I just didn't see it in myself. Because of his disbelief in Judges 6:17, Gideon asked the angel of the Lord to prove to him that he was actually the Lord. He wanted proof. Gideon asked the angel to wait there while he prepared a sacrificial meal to bring back to the Lord. The Lord agreed and waited for Gideon to return. See, here's the thing about God. God will wait on you if he has a calling in your life, on your life, until you go get what you need to fulfill that purpose. God will wait on us. He will wait on us. So he brought the meal back and offered it to the Lord. And the angel of God told Gideon to place the meal on the rock. Then the angel touched the meat and bread with his staff, and fire instantly consumed it all. God will consume anything around us that he needs to consume to get us into the places that we need to be. This was an incredible sign that made Gideon wonder if he was going to die since he had seen the Lord up close. The Lord not only assured Gideon that he wouldn't die, but he made Gideon realize that he wasn't going to get off the hook to do what God is calling him to do. There are some folks sitting in this room who God is calling you to do some great things. But you're afraid. Anxiety consumes you. You question your capacity and your ability, but I am here to tell you that God will not let you off the hook. I hear Daniel telling me, Rolanda, sister, God is not going to let you off the hook. Daniel wouldn't let me off the hook. And this is the fifth lesson. You have to know who is speaking in your life, and when you recognize that it is God, willingly obey. Although Gideon was willing to obey, based on what he saw with his own eyes and experiences firsthand, Gideon still doubted the Lord could use him in such a big way. What we must understand about Gideon's situation is that it wasn't about him not trusting God, the creator of all things. Gideon didn't believe that he was the vessel that God could use. And despite God saying to him, go in the strength you have, he didn't trust himself or his ability. It was simply his uncertainty that resulted in him testing God. Gideon's uncertainty resulted in him asking God for signs time and time again. First in Judges 6:17 and then in Judges 6:36 through 9. It is important to ask the question, was God discouraged by Gideon's constant requests? Did he begin to reconsider his pick? No. All these signs and wonders occurred, giving Gideon the strength and the faith he needed. God will give us the strength and the faith that we need to pursue our calling. God refused to give up on Gideon, and he refuses to give up on us, even when Gideon had given up on himself. This is the sixth lesson. When we are uncertain, we can seek reassurance from the Lord. God doesn't turn his back on us if we are unsure. God loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to ask him to show us what his purpose and plan is for our lives. We just have to be willing to get on our knees and ask. We have to be willing to get on our knees and ask. I can't read all of the scriptures related to Gideon, so I'm going to jump right to the end. When Gideon got the confirmation he needed, he fully stepped into his purpose. Fully, not partially. Like, he dove into that thing. He's like, I got this. He fully stepped into his purpose. And before the battle, but here's God, he threw a curveball. Before the battle with the Midianites, God threw a curveball. God instructed Gideon to lessen his army of 22,000 to 300 men. Reduce it from 22,000 to 300? God is going to ask you to shed off some stuff. He's going to ask you to purge some people out of your life. He's going to ask you to purge some thinking that you might have. He might strip you from some things just to show you that he's the one that's going to perform the miracle in your life. While his 300 armed men, with his 300 armed men with nothing more than trumpets and torches hidden inside clay pitchers, the Israelites crept to the outskirts of the Midian camp. On the signal from Gideon, the Israelites broke the pitchers, revealing the torches, and blew their trumpets, yelling, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." All we have to do is make a noise to God. All we have to do is worship him. All we have to do is call on his name. All we have to do is give ourselves to him. All we have to do is open our arms to the love that he has for us, and he alone will fight the battle. What kind of noise are you making? Surprised and thinking they were being ambushed by a large army, the Midianites panicked, fighting against one another before eventually fleeing into the night. Midian's mighty strength had been overcome by a mere 300 men led by Gideon and a man of God. All you have to do is make noise to Jesus. He will come running and he will run off the enemy. The final lesson is, when God is for you, nothing can stand against you. In the first worship song, the words were, "When all I see is my battle, you see the victory." Nothing can stand against the power of God. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Whatever battles we're incurring in our lives, we're enduring, God has the victory. He's given us victory already. I stand before you today admitting that I was like Gideon. Daniel, who spoke prophetically in my life, told me that God was going to use me to speak to men and women of this generation, and that I was going to be a leader that God is using in a mass revival that he is about to create. I never doubted God or the Holy Spirit in my friend's life, but for a long time, I was uncertain about my abilities and questioned why God would ever use me. So when two women in my life who have never met each other said, "I must take up Daniel's mantle," I was shocked. Shocked because I knew what Daniel's relationship was like with God. His faith was unshakable. His understanding of God's word was captivating. His commitment to God was unwavering. And I knew I was nothing like him. But God didn't call me to be like Daniel. He called me to be Rolanda. He called me to use every gift that he poured into me. Like Gideon, I was uncertain, and I needed help with that uncertainty. I needed Gideon to confirm that the words spoken to me were not from me or something that I created. So hearing these words from Sean Smith, "You are on the threshold of the fireworks of God. God is going to light up a place and a promise for you. I believe you are going to see the fireworks of God." The fireworks of God speak to me of signs and wonders. God is not only going to show you a sign and a wonder, but God called you to be a sign and a wonder. What do you do when a word like that is spoken into you? You can't help but to lean in. My perspective shifted. I immediately understood that I could trust God in uncertainty because he had a call on me. And when God calls me, there is no uncertainty in that. God's calling is certain. So I leave you with this thought. If there's anyone in this room who is unsure about their calling or is overcome with self-doubt, I encourage you to trust God in uncertainty because he is the only reassurance we need. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come humbly to you, thanking you for your power, thanking you for your calling, thanking you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, thanking you for giving us Gideon as an example of how we need to walk upright in you and trust you even when we don't trust ourselves. God, give us the strength that we need and the capacity that we need to walk fully in your calling despite what we think, despite what we see, and despite what we hear. In Jesus' most holy, majestic, and powerful name, I pray. Amen.